This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Photographer John Rosenthal visited the 9th Ward neighborhood of New Orleans last year. He said he was expecting the devastation wrought by Hurricane Katrina to be unbelievable, but in fact, to him, it was totally believable. Eerie, yes, but not unbelievable. John Rosenthal hadn't intended to photograph the 9th Ward, but he said he couldn't help himself, and he made many trips to the neighborhood with his camera after that, documenting the long-term aftermath of that storm. 18 of his photographs will be on display beginning tomorrow at Love House and Hutchins Forum in Chapel Hill, the home of UNC's Center for the Study of the American South. And John Rosenthal joins me in the studio now. Welcome back, John.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I'm curious about this because you go to a place as dramatic as the 9th Ward, even several years after Katrina, not intending to photograph. You're a photographer.
Right, right. Well, I don't photograph that kind of thing. After Katrina, 10,000 photographers went into the 9th Ward, and they photographed houses that had been washed off their foundations. They photographed cars and trees. They photographed 50-foot piles of debris. I mean, who is not going to take that photograph? But Susan Sontag once said that the history of photography is oftentimes about photographers hovering over other people's tragedies. And I've never really wanted to do that. I've always thought that when you photograph misery like that, and it's not your misery, you're a person with an expensive camera, it's not your misery, that's a kind of tourism. And so I didn't go to the 9th Ward to photograph it. I just went really to New Orleans to see it. It's a great American city. Right. It had been devastated. It was 2007. The debris was gone. I wanted to see the extent of the devastation. And, you know, a friend took me around to the various breaches in the in the various canals and so on. And when I got to the 9th Ward, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing.
When did you decide then to come back with your camera?
Well, I had a camera at the place I was staying. And basically, I had my friend drive. My wife and I were just essentially somebody once called this, these tour buses that go around the 9th Ward, the forsaken American tour. Mm-hmm. And I suppose we were doing that. But I went back to where I was staying and I got my camera because I'd started to see things right away that were so different from what I expected that I wanted to note them down.
And we use this term believable and unbelievable, and it's, I think, a good way to get at maybe what it was you saw. I mean, unbelievable at mm-hmm. one level, but in another way, you say believable, entirely, all too believable. What right. do you mean by that?
Well, it's a little complicated. The 9th Ward, if you've never been to it, the 9th Ward is something that you've received through media reports. And for 2 years, all I heard, especially right after the storm, the 9th Ward, blighted neighborhood, prostitution, gangsta, drugs, killing. I go down to the 9th Ward. I don't know what I'm expecting to see, certainly a slum. What I see are houses, bungalows, shotgun homes, lawns, hedges. And I say, wait, this is the 9th Ward? You know, and so, you know, getting out of the car the first time I went there, I saw this beautiful wrought iron fence on the edge of someone's property. And I said, you know, a prostitute doesn't live in that house. Somebody else lives in that house. And then when you start thinking about it, you realize that the press always gets it wrong. Shock and awe. I mean, you know, they create these kind of stereotypical phrases, prostitutes, blighted neighborhood, worst slum in New Orleans, killing, you know. And in fact, you get to a neighborhood and you realize it's a neighborhood where people lived. And maybe 6% of the people who lived there caused trouble. What about the other 94?
You have a great photo among the many in your exhibit and in the collection of a map of the United States, the yeah. geography lesson. Tell us about that.
Well, there it is. You're driving down Durbinia Street. And you look to your left, and there on the side of someone's house is a map of the United States. And it's signed. It's big. You know, it's about 10 feet wide. And somebody signed it. So they actually brought a painter in to do it. This was where the kids in the neighborhood learned their geography. It's for the kids in the neighborhood. And when you see that with Johnson grass grown up in front of it, there's a poignancy there that just breaks your heart. It has nothing to do with what you've heard about the Ninth Ward. This is a community.
It's a community, yeah, where education is important, and even if we have to do it ourselves.
Right, so working-class community where, as I said in the little essay I wrote on my website, aspiration contends with scarcity.
You do have some shots of the devastation in the aftermath. And again, this is the year's aftermath, mm-hmm. but the part that hasn't been cleaned up. An iconic shot, I think the iconic shot of this exhibit, would be a kind of debris-covered, grimy church organ. What did you see in that organ itself?
Well, I think that a good photograph always operates on a couple of levels. The name of this show, by the way, the show with all of the work in it, it will be called Then Absence, Then, comma, Absence, meaning that there was a past and there is a presence, and they're very, very different. The organ, which is covered in a kind of silt, is still a beautiful object. It's a Lowry organ, and it's just these beautiful burnished tones, and the keys are, you know, they're covered in mud, but they're not covered in mud, and the petals are multicolored. And you look at that, and the sun again was coming through the window, and you look at that, and you see its entire history. You see the tragedy, but you also can see through the mud to when it was a vibrant instrument and hundreds of people were singing hymns. It's just that kind of image. But let me tell you something interesting about that image. When I took it, the inside of this church was probably 115 degrees, and I was standing on an upturned pew to get the shot. The church was called the Church of the Living God, and it was a poor church with the title in paint on the front of the church. I came back to Chapel Hill. I thought about that image. I looked at the negative. I thought, too bad I didn't stay longer. I think I need to go back and get some more photographs of this organ because it is a strong photograph. I came back and the church was gone. It had been demolished. And I think that's when I realized that the photographs I was taking were beginning to constitute an archive. And in fact, that's precisely what happened over a year. I began to archive the Ninth Ward because, as far as I could see, nobody else was doing it.
There's another great shot called it's a building, a house, I guess. Psalm 91 is spray painted on the side of this house,
right?
And then Psalm 23, which of course is the famous "The Lord is my shepherd." Psalm 91, maybe a little less well known, but it's about hope and it's about God's protection against devastation in Psalm 91. It's kind of interesting.
He will shield you with his wings. He will shelter you with his feathers. That's a line from that psalm. And, you know, you look at that home, which is painted a turquoise blue, and somebody lived there and, you know, really cared about it. And they're pleading, essentially, that psalm is like an amulet for safety. Please don't destroy my home. You know, those are human stories that are oftentimes left behind.
You've shot these in color. You've made that choice. Talk about that, the choice to use color.
Well, you know, I've photographed for years in New York City, and you know, New York City's a black and white city. Mm-hmm. New Orleans, you can't go down to New Orleans and not be tempted by the color. And, you know, the fact is that in the Ninth Ward, the natural world is asserting itself in a very powerful way, and it's asserting itself in color. I don't want to make that that could be a sub-theme of the work, the kind of power of nature to reassert itself. I don't want that to be the point of these photographs because that's not a good point. The good point is it, you know, these people who lived in these homes are not coming back to them, or very few are, and that's a loss. But nevertheless, beauty is everywhere, and the Ninth Ward was a colorful culture, you know, with its crews and its clubs and its second line brass band dancing and the colors that people painted their homes. And frankly, the sky over New Orleans is like nothing I've ever seen. And so it really wasn't much of a choice. I said color.
There are no people in these photos.
No. I'm probably a little odd to be a photographer. I'm not sure. I've never felt comfortable taking photographs of people that I don't know. I think the photograph of people, of strangers, is oftentimes very presumptive, because you look at a photograph and you say, you think you know that person, but I don't know that person. And if I'm photographing that person, I may be conveying something I don't know. You know, the Ninth Ward to me was about loss, a pervasive sense of loss. I think there's plenty of photographers who are photographing some of the people who've come back and is going to be able to capture the hope and the energy of that return. But I felt that that my job was something else. And in fact, my training as a photographer would lead me to photographs that have a kind of, let's say a symbolic level to them, you know, that a face oftentimes doesn't have.
Well, you talked about the changes that that you underwent just from going down to visit, deciding to take some photographs, realizing that you were an archivist at this point. Mm-hmm. Again, as you began to take those, before you saw this as an archive, how did you see what you were doing there, the role that you were playing?
Well, you know, when I began to be a photographer, I was in New York City. I was walking around New York City kind of trying to, you know, find my voice, if you will. And one day it dawned on me that a lot of the things that I loved to look at were disappearing. Windows of, you know, bread, Jewish bread makers, loaves of bread, seltzer bottles in the back of trucks. Old Ukrainians playing backgammon in Tompkins Square. And I, you know, and there were certain buildings that I really loved, and then I'd come back and they were gone. And I suddenly had this sense that oblivion was a real fact. I mean, oblivion isn't death. It's a disappearance. Mm. And the camera is one of the greatest tools ever invented to face the problem of oblivion, which is, of course, we all know that as parents when we look at photographs of our children when they were young. Where are they? Right.
Well, and that, of course, is a powerful role for anyone to play, particularly if you consider those who see themselves as voiceless and facing oblivion. But it gets to another question, something you raised earlier, the idea of photographing something you're not familiar with, you're not a part of. I don't know you. Now, you go down to the Ninth Ward. You're a white man. You photograph these things. Your exhibit is going to be part of the African-American Museum in New Orleans when that comes back this August. Talk a little bit about what it was like for you. And there was some controversy at first about you even being part of this.
Well, there was controversy in my mind, particularly. I'm sure there are people who say, you know, he's a carpetbagger. But I have not found that to be true in any way coming from the African-American community. No, I began to see objects that were clearly loved objects. I began to see houses, even though they were distraught houses. I could see through the destruction that they had been tended, and so, you know, I just let my eye, which had been trained in New York to look for things that you know, the small ordinary things that people cared about. I began to photograph those things within the context of the destruction. You know, none of these photographs would necessarily make a lot of sense unless you knew that this was the Ninth Ward. The beauty is in relation to the destruction and to the neglect. We can't forget that.
Well, it's interesting because that has been the story and the lesson, if anyone has drawn one, is a question of neglect. That's mm-hmm. a lesson you can learn. But you're talking about oblivion and loss. I mean, the idea that neglect leads to something irrevocable.
Yeah. I wanted to witness what was left. You know, it's not my job to do that witnessing, Frank, But you have to understand that every photographer who lived in the Ninth Ward, and there were many fine photographers in the Ninth Ward, every piece of camera equipment they owned was destroyed. Every negative, unless they got out of town with it, every negative was destroyed. Every studio was destroyed. The photographs I took in the Ninth Ward ought to have been taken by the people in the Ninth Ward who own cameras. But they're living in a FEMA trailer, a formaldehyde stinking FEMA trailer somewhere on a highway next in Houston. So there were no photographers in the Ninth Ward taking these photographs.
It seems to me that their photographs side by side next to yours would be an interesting display, because theirs would be very different from yours, wouldn't you
think? Well, if there are any left. I mean, if there are any photographs of the Ninth Ward left.
No, but I mean, if a photographer today who had grown up there, who had lived in the Ninth Ward, went in there today with equipment, I would think their eye and what they would see and what they would find interesting would be very different, don't you
think,
from the outside?
Very different. And in fact, I am curating a show at the African American Museum that will be on display along with mine. And I intend basically for all those photographs to come from the African-American community. Hopefully a lot of those photographers will be from the Ninth Ward, and they'll have an entirely different story to tell.
Well, if we can't get to New Orleans in August, we can get to Chapel Hill beginning tomorrow. John, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
You can meet photographer John Rosenthal at the Love House and Hutchins Forum at the Center for the Study of the American South at UNC Chapel Hill tomorrow, June 5th. Special viewing of the photographs, and he'll be there to answer questions from 4 to 6. The exhibit is on view through August 15th. For a more extensive version of the show, titled The Absence, then Absence, I should say, it's going to open August 29th, 2008, for the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. That's at the New Orleans African Art Museum. New Orleans African American Museum. It's going to remain on display down there in New Orleans through October. That's the state of things for today. Thanks for listening. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.